Let us now turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 2, and we will read at verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here is a wonderful portion of God's Word. It is a portion, the context of which brings before us the doctrine of justification, which means that we are accepted as righteous in the sight of God only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. That is for everyone who believes in him. So that those who believe in Christ are not under condemnation. They are under grace. Believers are in Christ. And in fact, they are crucified with Christ. And with the Lord's help this evening, we desire to look at the first two parts of this verse, which speaks of being crucified with Christ and also Christ living in us. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that is the two points that we desire to consider, death with Christ, and secondly, life by Christ. And next week, with the Lord's help and his will, we will look at the rest of the verse to see how believers live by faith on Christ, the one who loved them and gave himself for them, and also how they may seek assurance that he loved them and died for them. It's a precious thing to be able to say about Christ, he loved me and he died for me. And it's only the believers who can say that Christ died for them. Arminians say, well, Jesus died for you, he died for me, he died for everyone. What good will that do you? If Jesus died for absolutely everyone, well, you can be in hell and say Jesus died for you. But to really, truthfully be able to say Jesus died for me, it means we are delivered from the guilt and power of sin, that we are ransomed, we are purchased by his blood, we are his people, because as we've said before, purchase procures possession. If he died for us, he bought us with his blood, and therefore we belong to him. If you bought something, well, that something is what you own. And Jesus died for his people. He purchased their salvation. He owns them. They are his. They belong to him, and they love to have it so. Well, with the Lord's help, we will consider these two things, death with Christ and life by Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Paul is saying that he is crucified with Christ and he lives a life that glorifies God. He says that through the law he is dead to the law that I might live unto God. I might live unto God. Being dead to the law doesn't mean we don't want to obey the law. We're dead to the law as to the condemning power of the law. The law cannot condemn us. The law has no power over us to curse us and cast us into hell. But if we are dead to the law, then we are alive unto God, and we desire to keep the law because it's God's law. And we love God, and we want to obey him. We want to obey his law. So Paul is saying, I'm through the law has had this effect. It's brought me to Christ. And because I'm in Christ, and the law has had that effect of driving me to Christ, I'm in Christ and therefore dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I might live unto God. I want to keep his commandments. I want to obey him. I want to glorify him. And so he says in our text, I am crucified with Christ, dead with him. And so being dead with Christ, I'm dead to the law. Nevertheless, I live. See, I'm still alive, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And Christ in me wants to keep the commandments. Christ in me wants to obey the law. Christ in me wants to live unto God. So this is what we're focusing upon, the fact that believers are crucified with Christ. And how are they crucified with Christ? First of all, it's by union with him, being one with Christ. How are believers one with Christ? How are believers united to Christ? Well, in the covenant of grace from eternity, when God chose his Son to be the Redeemer of his people, to obey the law for them and suffer and die for them, when God chose his Son to do this work of salvation, he chose his people in Christ. And in that covenant, Jesus Christ represented his people, and they are in him from the foundation of the world, as Paul says, chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. So that's what is called covenant union. But there's also spiritual union, and that is believers are united to Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in them. They are united to Christ by the Spirit of Christ in them. So that Paul says, Christ liveth in me. And there's also believing union. When there is voluntary reliance upon Christ, it's also called voluntary union. And they are united to Christ by believing in him. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith. So, as some have put it, the two bonds of union are the Spirit on God's part and faith on our part, that is, the Holy Spirit working faith in us, and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. But that's union with Christ. We still haven't come to being crucified with Christ. The question is, what is the result of union with Christ? The result of union with Christ is that we are legally one with Christ, legally one with him, which means that believers have the same legal position with Christ as he is the head and representative of his people. So, in the covenant of grace, Christ represented his people, and in his public ministry, as he went about obeying the law and suffering on the cross, he represented his people, and he was their substitute. Jesus stood in the room and place of his people. He died in their stead, and it's as if his people were there when he died. You see? It's as if they can say, when he died, I died. He was there for me. It's as if I was there. But you see, we truly were there if we're his people believing in him. Truly, we were there by his representing us. And in his substitutionary work for us, he was dying for us in our stead. We were in him when he died. So that believers can say, we died in him and with him, so that they can say, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. We might be able even to say that his death is imputed to us. We all know, we are very familiar with the words, we are righteous in Christ. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, not only are believers righteous in him, they have died in him. So they are crucified with him. God imputes the death of Christ to them. It's put to their account, just as the righteousness of Christ. And really, the righteousness of Christ includes both the obedience of Christ and the death of Christ. So we need to remember that when we say the righteousness of Christ covers the believer. Well, that righteousness includes both his obedience to the law and his death on the cross. So the death of Christ is imputed to believers, put to their account. God sees his people in Christ who died for them. He views his people through the crucifixion of Christ. when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, when believers say that, do they feel the agony of the cross? Do they feel the pain of the suffering? No. They don't feel the pain of the crucifixion. Christ suffered that for them. As it has been put by another, we were in him, death passed upon him, but he suffered all the pain of it. And we, though in him, remain unharmed. We receive the blessed effects of his death. We don't suffer the pain of his death. We're crucified with him, but the death passes upon him and the life passes upon us. Our sins are forgiven. We are justified. God pardons and accepts us. We are righteous in him. We are crucified with him. And you see, that's important to remember. Paul doesn't say, I was crucified with him, but not anymore. He doesn't say that. We all, of course, accept that we are righteous in him. It's not the case that we were righteous in him, but now we're not righteous in him anymore. No, we remain righteous in him, but at the same time, we remain crucified with him. The righteousness goes on, the death goes on. So Paul is saying, I am crucified with Christ. And he also says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He is not saying, I am crucified with Christ, and therefore I am dead and nothing but dead. No, he still lives. Nevertheless, I live. But then, of course, he quickly says, yet not I, which means it's not really him. That's not the main thing, because it's Christ who lives in him. He could also be saying, yet not I. It's not the old Paul. It's not the one who went about the ceremonies of the law and tried to work out a righteousness of himself. It's certainly not that. That's not the life he lives. It's not even the natural, the physical life that he's talking about. He's not saying, look, I'm still alive, I'm still on the earth. He's not speaking about that, but he's speaking about the spiritual life. It's Christ that lives in me. So Paul is speaking about a death and a life that is going together. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Both the crucifixion and the life are simultaneous. Both are taking place at the same time. He doesn't say, I was crucified, but now I live. He doesn't say, I am crucified, but in the future I will live. He's saying, I am crucified, and I am living. So that's something we need to remember. Paul says in another place, Colossians chapter 3, for ye are dead, ye are. And your life is hid with Christ in God. So think of it that way. Christ represents us. Christ's death is imputed to us. We live by his death. This ongoing crucifixion or death is, and this ongoing life, both the death and the life together, is illustrated in Christ, who died on the cross, was still living even when he died. Think of that. Because John calls him the eternal life. So even when he died and he gave up the ghost, he was still alive. How can that be? Well, you know the answer. In his human nature, he suffered and died, but he was still God, the eternal life. So in his human nature, he died, but in his divine nature, he remained alive. He was still God, the fountain of life, even when he died on the cross, so that he could say, I am crucified, nevertheless I live. And it's only because of that, only because Christ, who could say, I am crucified, nevertheless I live, that believers can say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. And because he was both the eternal life and died on the cross, his death was a death-destroying death. His death abolished death. He died on the cross so that death may go away, that death would be destroyed and sin with it. He could not die, but sin must die too. And so his death is a sin-destroying death. His death is a death-destroying death. He destroys death by his death because he is who he is, the eternal life, and died on the cross, the living one, the eternal life, even while he was crucified. So it's a life in death, and that is the only death that, and the only life that can sustain us. Hugh Martin puts it this way: when you think about our corruption and our death, believers don't always feel vibrant. They don't always feel alive. They don't always feel joyful and abounding in good works and going forward in the ways of the Lord. They don't always feel that. Sometimes they feel quite dull. They sometimes feel even dead. But there is life in Christ, and that is what sustains them. It is the life of Christ as the eternally living one that lived in the midst of death. Even while he was crucified, he was alive. And Hugh Martin says, "Give me a life that can live in death if you would give me a life that can live in me." There's no other life that will sustain this death, this person who feels dead. No other life but the life of Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." That's the life and death that we need. The Son of God loving his people and giving himself for them. That's the life that we need. The life that was given up in death. And that is what is symbolized in the Lord's Supper, the broken body and the shed blood. Christ's body was broken. His blood was shed. He died. He gave up his life. But he was still alive. The eternal life. "And no man taketh it from me," he says. I give it of myself. And so by his death, he destroyed sin and death and gives life to believers. And we're to go to his death, the death of the Lord of glory, the death of the Son of God. That's what Paul is saying. "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He's not a mere man. He was not just a great prophet. He was the Son of God, the Lord of glory, the eternal life, the resurrection and the life, who died on the cross, giving himself for his people. And that is the life that we need. The life that can live in the midst of death is the only life that will suffice for me. Well, we live because Christ died. And we also live because Christ lives in us. And that's what we consider secondly. We consider the death, the crucifixion, being crucified with Christ. Now let us consider for a few moments the life, Christ living in us. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Well, again, not every believer feels that they can say these words of the apostle, "Christ lives in me." They don't always go about thinking to themselves, "Christ lives in me." They should be thinking about this. They're certainly not always conscious of it, that Christ lives in them. They see their failings, they see their sins. But the fact is, what was true of Paul is true of every believer today. Every believer has the right to say, "Christ lives in me." And the more we depend upon Christ, the more we rely on him, the more we live by faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, the more conscious we will be that he lives in us. We will not only be able to say it theoretically, scripturally, but we will know it because we will see it. We will see the work of grace in our souls. So Paul, as we said already, desires to live unto God. I, through the law, verse 19 again, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and when we come to Christ, we are dead with him, and therefore dead to the law. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Paul is not now careless because he's in Christ, and Christ died for him, his sins are forgiven. He's not saying now, well, I don't have to keep the law, I don't really care about that anymore. No, it's the very opposite. He wants to live to God. He wants to obey the law. He loves the law. I delight to the law of God after the inward man. He's not saying that we are crucified with Christ and therefore we can just go on transgressing. That would Christ is not the minister of sin. Christ is not approving or condoning any of our sins. He forgives our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he is purifying their hearts by faith. And it is a life of faith. Believers want to live for Christ. They do live for him. I live, he says, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. A precious thing, if we were only thinking about it more. That very truth, Christ lives in me, how that would keep us as a means from sin. Is what I do and say consistent with the fact that Christ lives in me? As you know, believers are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you think about that, the temple is to be holy. And are we seeking holiness? Now, that is the only right response to this truth that believers, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and Christ, by his Spirit, lives in his people. Christ lives in them. And it is Christ by his Holy Spirit who lives in them. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you. And the life that Christ lives in his people is a progressive life, we might say. It is a grace that it develops, increases more and more, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and he grew, he increased physically. So the grace that Christ works in his people is progressive. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ is being formed in his people, and believers are to cherish that. I desire Christ to be formed in me and to grow in me. So as Christ works his grace in us, it is Christ himself living in us, and the good purposes of his people, the holy affections of his people are his affections, Christ's purposes, his grace in them. And to the extent that Christ lives and works in us, we are thinking his thoughts, we have his affections, it is his strength that we exercise. And that is exactly what God's people have been appointed to, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be like him. They are members of his body. They are indeed members of one another. Christ dwells in all of his people. No one of his people can look down at another believer and say, Christ doesn't care about you. as much as me, or vice versa. It is Christ in the hearts of all of his people, and they are to be loved as his people. And what is love of the brethren? Well, you've all heard it before. The love of the brethren is Christ in me loving Christ in you, and Christ in you loving Christ in me. And the more we see of Christ in our brethren and sisters in Christ, the more that love will be kindled and cherished and promoted. Well, let us remember this as believers. Christ liveth in me. We are often hesitant to acknowledge that because we see so many failings. We're even ashamed to say, Christ lives in me. How can Christ live in me when I'm so sinful? Well, we live in the flesh. We're here in this world. Paul says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm still here in this world of sin and sorrow. And there are many, indeed many afflictions and many providences that cause me to tremble and take away the joy that I might otherwise have. I'm in heaviness through manifold temptations. I don't see angels hovering about. I don't have a crown of glory upon my head. And there's so many things that I observe with my senses that seem to go against the fact that Christ lives in me. But we're to lay hold upon God's word, and we're to look beyond what is seen. We're to look to Christ in heaven, setting our affections on things above, looking to Christ who is in heaven. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in glory. It's hid. It's not observed by the world. No one's going to look at us and say, oh yes, that's a prince. Now, that person is an heir of glory. I can just look at him and say, no. No, that's not the way it is. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I believe. I believe his word. I believe that what he says is true, that those who love the brethren have passed from death into life. I believe that I love the brethren. Therefore, I have passed from death into life. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, though there is another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. But I still delight in the law of God. And only those who have the Spirit, and only those who are born again, only those who have a new heart, truly delight in the law of God. So if I delight in the law of God, it's evidence that I am born again. You see, that's God's word. We don't go by our feelings. We don't go by the senses. We go by the word. Christ lives in me. What is the evidence of that? Well, we hope to look at that next time. Christ died for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How can I say right here, I know Jesus Christ died for me. My sins are forgiven. That's what we desire to look into next time. Well, one thing comes to mind, and it's this. The more I see Christ living in me, the more I am assured he died for me. Christ lives in me. I live his life. I feel that I'm not my own. I want to be his. I belong to him. I want to live for him. I live by the faith of him. That's the only way I can live. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And if I can say that, I can also say, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you desire to be crucified with Christ? Do you desire Christ to live in you? Let me tell you, it's the only way to live. And may the Spirit cause you to feel that. If Christ is not in me, if Christ is not my Savior, I have no life. Life is meaningless without Christ. Pray that that would be your feeling, your experience, that the Holy Spirit would cause you to come to an end of self and say, I am nothing, I can do nothing, and nothing really matters unless I'm found in Christ. Oh, to live by faith on Him, to believe in Him. Yes, friend, it's by being crucified with Him that Christ will live in you and you will live a life that is worth living. So be reconciled to Him. Come to Him. Run to Him. Flee from the wrath to come. Call upon His name and say, give me Christ or I die. That is the way it needs to be with you. One thing matters, and it is Christ. And if you still feel you can't believe, go to Him saying, Lord, I'm so full of unbelief. Help my unbelief. Give me faith, because salvation is all of grace. And that is what gives a sinner hope. All of grace. Not so that you will say, well, there's nothing I can do. I might as well not even try. No, it's all of grace. That means there's hope. It was up to you. If it depended upon your strength and your efforts, well, you wouldn't be saved. There would be no hope for you. But because salvation is all of grace, there is hope. Because He can do for you what you cannot do of yourself. And may the Lord bring you there to depend upon His free grace. May He bless His word. Let us pray.